this meeting of October 6th to order. I ask you to rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a roll call of members.
Mr. Staylor?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused. Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Ms. McAfee?
Here.
Ms. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Proto has also asked to be excused. Mr. Randall?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Kuplinka-Lair?
Present.
13 members present.
Thank you. Our poet laureate is here, Jay Leeming, and he's going to read a brief poem to start our meeting off. Thank you for coming, Jay.
It's great to be here. Thanks. Yeah, my name's Jay.
Jay, you come to inspire us in our budget process, so who knows what it is.
A noble task. Here's actually two short poems, if that's all right. This is called Ego. Getting rid of your ego is like trying to throw away a garbage can. No one believes you're serious. And the more you yell at the garbage men, the better the neighbors remember your name. Short one. And this is called Supermarket Historians. All historians should be supermarket cashiers. Imagine what we'd learn. Your total comes to 1066, and that's the year the Normans invaded Britain. Or that'll be 1861, the year the Civil War began. Now all my receipts are beaches where six-year-olds find bullets in the sand. My tomatoes add up to Hiroshima. If I'd bought one more carton of milk, the cashier would be discussing the Battle of the Bulge and not the Peloponnesian War. But I'm tired of buying soup cans full of burning villages, tired of hearing the shouts of Marines storming beaches in the bread aisle. I want to live in a house carved into a seed inside a watermelon, to look up at the red sky as shopping carts roll through the aisles like distant thunder. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I think we'll see Jay one more meeting this month as well, if he can join us. We have no announcements of special orders of the day, so we'll move on to privilege of the floor for the public. We have four people who've signed up in advance, but others can certainly speak if they feel moved. Our first person who signed up is Joanne Florina from City of Ithaca.
Well, good evening, everyone. Before I say anything, I want to make it clear that I'm here tonight without my foundation hat on, nor am I here as a member of CAP. So I'm here tonight as just me, speaking as a private citizen. And I really have been following the budget hearings and following the presentations made by the various departments and agencies, because, you know, I was part of that CAP committee this year, and I know that our recommendations were very much in line with the county administrators, and I was inclined to take a very hard line this year and say, you know what, we're hitting rock bottom. We've got to finally make these big cuts. But I was away for the last 3 weeks, various trips for work, and the one article I saw that just made me stop and take a deep breath was the one about the proposed cuts to the emergency outreach services in the mental health department. So I want to ask you tonight to really reconsider that set of cuts. And if there's any way to come up with those funds to restore those services in that department. We know that those outreach services are critical. They're critical to the public, but they're also critical to every family in Tompkins County. And I came from one of those families. And that's something I don't talk about a lot. And I realized that, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, none of this got discussed very much. But my mother was schizophrenic, as were two of her siblings, and it was something that the family bore silently for many, many years. My childhood was a train wreck in many ways, and for 6 years especially, between about 1961 and 1967. My mother was institutionalized repeatedly with what were, you know, called nervous breakdowns. And only later in life did I ever really learn what was going on because, of course, I was sheltered. I had no access to any experts with whom to speak, nor did my dad, really. And he was the trooper in all of this. You know, he held it together. He was a stalwart. And the only thing he would ever say to me is, be strong, have a strong mind. You know, don't give in to these demons. But it was not ideal. And so I know, as I've gone through the years, I've sought out families that were in crisis and that were having these struggles. And they are all around us. There's no special sign. There's no disturbance that triggers things. You just never know. My mother had violent episodes, which could have ended in great tragedy. And I have to say, in reading the newspaper article, maybe this is for Stacy, as much as everyone else, we all need to remember that the night that Officer Padula died, someone else died too. And, you know, my mother could have been Deborah Stagg at many, many moments. When the police came to arrest her because she was violent with a neighbor, when she went after my father with a butcher knife, those things really happened in my life. And I think they happen to more of us than care to admit it. So I am asking that you reconsider that cut and that you try to find those funds to restore those services. It would be a terrible thing for the families in this county to have to do without. Thank you.
Thank you, Julianne. Next, we have Damon Ferguson from Groton.
It's going to be a little mismatch there from previous. I have goodies. Good evening. My name's Damon Ferguson. I'm a resident of the town of Groton. Tonight, I'm coming to you as a board member of the Tompkins Cortland Habitat for Humanity. I'm coming because I would like to invite all of you to dinner. We are having it's a fundraising with Rogues Harbor. It's every Wednesday, so starting tomorrow with the finale on the 28th of October. And the 28th, we also have a silent auction. We are building our first home in Tompkins County in several years. It's on Breed Road in Lansing. We've got a great partner family. There's a lot of economic news that's not all that great. Habitat, our local chapter of Habitat, has done very well with matching grants. What we're actually short of is partner families. So one of the reasons that I'm here tonight is not only to invite you to dinner, but to please, we need to connect with those families out in the community that would benefit from Habitat housing. So please join us any Wednesday in October at Rogues Harbor. And if you have any other questions, we've got a great new executive director on. Our phone number for the office is 898-4148. That's also on the flyer I just handed out. If you have any questions about those events or about Habitat in Tompkins and Cortland, I'd love to answer them.
Thank you. Two of those evenings we have budget meetings, unfortunately.
Well,
but
when you can.
Thank you. Next we have Mike Lane from Dryden.
Good afternoon, everyone. Mike Lane from Village of Dryden. Concerned about your budget deliberations having to do with the support of some of your advisory boards. There was an article in today's journal about the issues of being able to staff some of them. I don't think I'm here to ask you to raise taxes to find more money to do that. I think you've got to hold to the 3% tax levy increase that you've been talking about. But on the other hand, things like the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board need to be properly staffed, maybe has to be reduced some. Certainly our Environmental Management Council, one of the few counties in the state that has a successful EMC, and one that does a lot of good work like ours, needs to be properly staffed. The planning advisory boards and other things need to be staffed properly through the Tompkins County Planning Department. Perhaps it's time to look at the overall work plan of the planning department, look at the staffing. It may be in these hard times when folks are suffering under real property taxes that we have to take a different look at the priorities. Maybe we have to staff the basics, so the EMCs and the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Boards. Maybe we have to set aside for a little bit the extensive planning for things like nodal development and other issues like that that are maybe good for the county in the long run, but maybe too little too expensive to spend time on right now. I would urge each of you who hasn't been out going door to door to do that, even those folks who don't happen to have opponents this year. And if you're running for re-election, please go out and knock on doors in your neighborhoods, talk to people, see how they're coping with the recession, with the layoffs that have been required, if their families have moved away, if they have been forced into early retirement, or people that they know. Times are tough for folks, and we have to remember that. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. We have Faye Gugakis from State Street in Ithaca.
There's two things that I want to talk about tonight. First, I want to talk about the library decision. And I was at the two meetings where the presenters, the two people that were being looked at for a library director, and I found it very interesting, at least with the woman that was chosen, when I asked her, where she works in Binghamton now, what did they do with cell phones in the Binghamton Library? And she said there's a designated room where they go and they use the cell phone. And that's something that I've asked you and I've asked, you know, people at the library board to do. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants anything in Tompkins County. We don't care about cell phones. We don't care about people trampling over other people's safety. We don't care about, you know, how cell phones are used in public places. Now, I couldn't believe, you know, none of them really wanted to talk about it. You know, I asked the second question when I asked her about the cell phone use specifically, but I did ask both people about cell phone use in the library. Okay, so I am asking you, you know, that I really think that now with the new director of the library, we need to not allow cell phone use in the library. To be honest with you, you know, the vision of the past director was not a vision I shared. I do not share a vision where a library is a lounge, you know, where people go and they walk around with cell phones, and they also, I've seen people singing in the library, having the headphones on and singing at the computer, you know, desk. I've seen all kinds of things in that library. People don't care. How many of you really use the library? How many of you take public transportation? How many of you ride a bicycle every day? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I know some of you care, but, you know, it is very, I'm going to change the subject now, it is very scary to see people texting and using a cell phone while they're driving. And the latest thing that I'm also upset about is the darkened windows. We have now cars where you can't see what people are doing inside. I brought that up at the city council meeting. I went and met with Deputy John Barber. I asked both the city and John Barber to please, and I'm asking you tonight, we need a forum with everybody from all the police departments, from Ithaca College, from Cornell, from Tompkins County, and from the city. We need to talk about the issue of what people are doing in their cars, darkened windows, safety in our streets. I've never been more petrified in riding my bicycle. And it's, you know, it's very hypocritical to sit back and say, well, you know, we're taking away our freedom. If I get killed, if somebody's I get killed, okay, I'm not going to like it, you know. And there's nobody, unfortunately, going to be around to fight for me. I would love for somebody to sue Verizon and AT&T and the U.S. government and Tompkins County if I get killed. Because I have seen no movement, no concern. Now, my understanding that you had presented the request for cell phone law locally, wasn't aware of it. I was very moved, and I appreciate that. And when I point to you, mind you, I can't remember your names up here. Sorry, I was just asking for the roster, and I'm really sorry. It's not meant to put, you know, belittle you in any way.
Time to wrap up, Faye. Time to wrap
but
up.
But the thing is, like, what I have a problem with is for the sheriff to tell you it's not enforceable. No, there's no say no. If I was on the county legislature, I would bring him here and question him. Okay? And the last hopeful thing that I will say is I asked you this before to get on the phone and call the Ithaca Journal and tell we want something on their front page because November 1st, texting while driving is banned in New York State, no matter how pathetic that law is. It's still a law. And we need that to be on the front page because a lot of people don't know what's happening. I got on the phone and called Ithaca College, and I talked to the students up there. They put it on their front page, and I looked everywhere for it, and I couldn't find it, of the Ithacan. I haven't gotten hold of the Daily Sun because they're work at night, and I keep forgetting to call them at night. But it's that kind of momentum that I'm asking us to do. And it's all of our safety. It's not just me on the bicycle. It's the person in the car. It's the pedestrian. It's you sitting in the room. Those windows where you can't make eye contact and see what that person's doing, even if you see them turning. I mean, this is safety. It's not something that's difficult, you know?
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on the privilege of the floor for the public? You don't have to have signed up in advance. You're able. Please go ahead. State your name and where you're from.
I'm Bonnie Nault. I live in Ithaca. I'm a realtor, and I spoke at the last meeting about taxes. We did a little research, and for the last 3 years, out of the nationwide counties, 17 of the top 25 counties are New York's counties, and Tompkins County is 25th. In the highest taxes. And so
it's taxes per house value, is that correct?
It's per the percentage of the house value.
Yes.
And so once again, I'm just here to ask you to reconsider your 3% taxes. I'm afraid people are going to leave the county. They already are. And also the mortgage recording tax. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bonnie. Anyone else wish to speak on the privilege of the floor for the public? If not, we'll move on to privilege of the floor for legislators. Pam and then Jim.
Well, the latest update on the garbage truck regulations is that they have extended the comment period. I was supposed to end on the 9th. It has now been extended to the end of November, which is longer than the initial comment period. It is not seen as good news for those of us who are opposing it. But it does offer an extended amount of time for people to get in their comments to the DOT. And if you haven't done that, I would encourage everybody to do that.
Thank you. Jim Dennis?
Pam, I was at a meeting the other noon, and that topic came up. And what seems to be happening is local truckers think the law is put together against them, and they really don't understand that it's not them who will be dramatically affected by it. So I think if we do anything, we have to communicate to local truck organizations that this law is not against them.
Well, could I just say something to that? I mean, even in our resolution that we passed last time, it talked about that local trucks are not affected by this.
I understand that.
It's been in every press release. I mean, I agree, but that's because the Trucking Association is promoting the idea that it is going to have an impact, and that's unfortunate because it's not.
My sense is the comment period is longer, and we can make comments during that. That was not my issue. My issue is poetry. I really appreciate the fact that Mr. Leeming was here this evening, and I'm now talking for the Family Reading Partnership, which is coming up with an event November 14th called Put a Poem in Your Pocket. And it's November 14th at Boynton Middle School. There's a kickoff for the event this Saturday on the Commons. And the way it's going to work is each child in the school district will be getting a flyer about this event, and cleverly the flyer will turn into a pocket if you fold and cut and do the right thing. And then around the county there will be 200 sites that you may go and pick up a poem. If it's Purity Ice Cream, there's a poem about ice cream. If it's McDonald's, there's a poem about burgers or wherever. So there are 200 places that a child, their parents, can pick up a poem, and it will all be brought together on November 14th at Boynton Middle School, and it's sponsored by the Family Reunion Partnership. So if you have any poems, put them in your pocket.
Thank you, Tim. On to Martha Robertson.
Thank you. Just a couple reactions to a couple things that were said. Faye, the National Department of Transportation, the Commissioner of Transportation, Ray LaHood, has taken this on as a serious issue. They're looking at federal regulations, at least about texting and cell phones while driving. So, at the national level. So, Bonnie, I've seen those stats about the about New York State counties being so high in the national list of crop taxes. I would submit it's probably because of Medicaid. We are one of only a handful of states where there's any Medicaid expense at the local level at all. It's meant basically as a shared federal-state responsibility. New York State has for years passed some of those costs on to counties, so that certainly distorts the those kinds of calculations. And Damon, I got an email about women building day at the at Habitat, and even with training at Lowe's for using power tools and all that. So I thought that was great.
The women's build is Friday and Saturday, actually, of this week. Okay. And we're raising the walls of the house that we're building on Breed Road. It's pretty fantastic. We had almost 40 women come out for the first training session, which was last Wednesday. And then we have another one tomorrow, and they continue throughout October also.
Great. Thank you. And finally, the regulations, the draft supplemental generic environmental impact statement is out on the Marcellus Shale gas drilling with 60-day comment period and from the DEC. And I haven't had a chance to look at it. Not many people have, I think. But it's stimulated a great deal of conversation. We hope we're going to be – there's a bunch of people working on putting together – probably two public meetings in the next month or so, one sort of informational and to try to explain what's in the draft regulations, and then one more of a hearing or some kind of a more focused rally kind of a meeting. So stay tuned on that. I'm just really astonished at how much radio advertisement I'm hearing now from the gas companies, including on progressive radio, and I'm just, they are clearly, they are going to spend whatever it takes to get a license to drill in New York State, and kind of also every day I see another story about a spill or a contamination or an accident, and I hope people will really be paying attention, and this is something that's really going to affect our state. For decades. So I look forward, I guess the planning department will be looking carefully at the regs, and we'll look forward to that discussion.
Thanks, Martha. Carol Chalk next.
Yeah, I also wanted to appreciate our poet laureate. I hope you'll come back. And I wanted to appreciate, she may have left, but Joanne Florino for sharing her history. There isn't a family that isn't somewhere touched by that kind of or some kind of mental illness, and it is something that we need to deal with as a community. So it really does help for us to understand that when people who have managed to overcome that in their own lives come in out and let us know about that. I also wanted to share with you, I have had occasion in my travels to learn things that I bring back to Ithaca and Tompkins County, and I do hope that you've all had a chance to look at the links that were sent out about the gas drilling from my trip earlier this summer. This weekend, I had the absolute joy of becoming a mother-in-law for the first time. It is a little bizarre to be a mother-in-law, but I went to Texas, and this is relevant. And while I was there, I toward the state capitol. And I also talked to my new daughter-in-law, who is recently graduated law school. And I have two things to share. One, an upside and one a downside. One, something that we might want to consider modeling, and one that we should feel good that we don't use it as a model. The upside was the Texas House has been voting with electric switches at everybody's desk since 1923. I was amazed. It is now electronic. It was pointed out to me yesterday that it was originally electric, with a switch that lights up next to your name as you voted, and it is right there at your desk. I thought that was fascinating. My daughter-in-law was inspired to become a lawyer after she, as an undergraduate, a sophomore in college, these were the people who were providing indigent representation. She was doing child protective services, recruited as a sophomore in college, visiting homes, representing a four-year-old in court. This is the model of what happens when you don't have professionals of one form or another providing that kind of service. And she was inspired and she was driven and went on to really learn something and become a lawyer. But that is not the norm, and I was really struck by the difference between that state and New York in how we handle some of those things. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara. Greg Stevenson?
I just wanted to give kudos to a county department, a county agency. I had a call earlier this summer from a constituent in Newfield who had at least to her, a pretty significant flood and hazard mitigation problem, and was actually worried that they may lose their home at some point over the problem. I was asked by her to come out and look at it, and while I was more than happy to look at it, she wouldn't get much more than sympathy from me. I'm not trained in flood hazard mitigation, but I spoke to somebody at Soil and Water who took the ball and ultimately got some funding from the Upper Susquehanna Coalition, worked in cooperation with our highway department, and for really a very minimal amount of taxpayer funds mitigated this problem. I think that's a great example of a cooperative effort, good use of what tax dollars they did use, and I'm very appreciative as a representative of that district that they were there to work for my constituents. So I wanted to thank Soil and Water and County Highway for that.
Thanks, Greg. Anyone else wish to speak under privilege of the floor for legislators? Thank you. I don't see a municipal official here. Sorry if I have to wait till next time. Is there a municipal official here to speak to us? Okay, we're going to move on then. We have two special presentations. Our county historian, Carol Kamen, is here.
It has been 9 years, and this is not a resignation speech. I would like to continue. But it's been 9 years, and what I've had the privilege of doing is representing, is pulling together and leading the town historians. And over the years, there have been, the town historians have appointed deputies, and we have a group of people who have joined with us, so that there are now about 26 people who are working on the county history. You will remember, I think, I brought you last year these pamphlets on the towns, which have totally disappeared. There are no more. But they were a good project for us, and I think they were well received. I'm here today to bring you a book entitled Tompkins County, Images of Work and Play, which these 26 people have put together. When the publisher came to me and asked if I would do a book of images of Tompkins County, I said, well, I don't want to do it, but maybe I can get my group to do it. And they said, we don't want to work with 26 people. But it turned out to be a wonderful project. And the publisher sent us a note at the end saying, They had never had such clean copy or such good material to work with. So I'm here to present you with four copies. I don't know how in Solomon's world you're gonna divide four copies up, but I can't afford to give you more than that. But here are four copies of the new book, and we hope that you will enjoy it and let people know about it. Thank you very much.
You just gave us five copies, though, Carol.
Five?
You did. You just overspent your budget.
I did. Oh, that's all right. If I brought them, they're yours. Okay. I don't know if you have any questions about what the county historian does. I'd be glad to answer them, but I'd like to thank you for the privilege of serving.
Thank you for serving. I don't see any questions, so appreciate.
Oh, everywhere. The History Center, Borders, Barnes & Noble, and Books on Buffalo Books. Right? They're for sale at all those places. Thank you.
Thank you again for your service. We move on to our long-awaited report from our assigned counsel public defender analysis and review task force. I think Ray Schlaw is going to start us off. Kevin.
Oh, you can make a all right. So do I get to sit here? Where do you want me to go?
You can stand here or sit there.
I can stand. Oh, perfect. Well, all right.
You can sit at the table and have a mic pull over next to you. That's probably more comfortable.
Maybe I'll
do that. Kevin?
Technologically challenged.
Put the mic over to him.
There we go.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me? We're all set? All right. First of all, it's always difficult to follow Carol Kamen because she brings a richness and an ability to tell a story that most of us lack. But and then to follow a poet laureate is even more incredible. But here we are. You folks back in November, December, decided that we need to take another look at our assigned counsel and indigent representation system in Tompkins County. And this is done approximately once every 20 years. The last time it was done was in the late 80s, and the time before that was pre-Gideon and therefore wasn't done. So we are at a point where the generation has changed. It was time for us to look at it again, and we assume this responsibility with seriousness and with enthusiasm. So you appointed a broad representation from the community. The Advisory Board of Indigent Representation is called the ABIR. It was well represented, the Bar Association and this legislature, and every one of these members contributed significantly and with intelligence and wisdom and insight, and it was really a great group. We met a lot. We met often, but with purpose. If one were to calculate the amount of time we spent on this project over the past roughly 8 months, it was from we started meeting in January. We completed our meetings in August. We probably collectively put in over 500 hours of professional time in this project. And you have before you a fairly lengthy volume that consists of the report itself and then 20 appendices, all of which represents the work product of this group. The idea was for us to examine what we have, to examine what is out there, and then to make a determination as to where we should go from here. The subtext was, and it's always been, it was this way 20 years ago and it's this way now, should we go with a public defender system or not? And that has, I think, been the tension, it's been the question, and it's been that which is on everybody's mind. And so we decided to pursue that directly. And so it was that we went forward. We had a number of people come in from both the state, from local counties, members of the Bar Association, other public defenders, judges, probation people, prosecutors. We talked to people. We listened to them. We took statements, we collated data, we put it all together, and this is what you have. And one criticism was that it would have been half as thick if we had put it on two sides of the paper, and I apologize for that. What were our findings? Our findings, they're all there, of course, and I'm sure you've all read it, but let me just give you a quick synopsis. First of all, you have to understand that there are, throughout the state, basically four different systems of indigent representation. You have assigned counsel program, where basically individual attorneys from private practices are assigned to do the work, both in criminal court, in family court, and on appeals. You have public defender offices, and public defenders are what they say. It's like a law firm. They're basically institutional entities, frequently paid for as government employees. And then you have legal aid societies. Legal aid societies are not-for-profit organizations. In this area, there's a legal aid society in Onondaga County. There's another one down in Broome County. They provide, more often in this part of the world, more often family court representation. And then you have what has been emerging is a second public defender. They're called public advocates, but it's for handling what are called conflict cases. And let me just digress for a moment. In the world of law, lawyers cannot represent one lawyer or one firm cannot represent two people at the same time or two people with related interests in the same matter. And so what happens is that if you have a public defender representing defendant A, then another public defender from the same office cannot represent defendant B in the same criminal matter. You need to actually have a second lawyer from outside of the public defender's office do that. Otherwise, it's called a conflict of interest, and a conflict of interest is a no-no in the world of law. And so you don't have that problem in the assigned counsel program because you have basically independent attorneys who are representing the different defendants, representing the different parties in family court proceedings, and what have you. But once you move to an institutional defender, such as a public defender or a legal aid society, then you run into these conflict problems. And so in some counties, such as, for instance, in Chemung County, they not only have a public defender, but then they have what is called the public advocate's office, which is the conflict defender. It's the second tier of defense. And then that tier is backed up further by the assigned counsel program. And so in New York State and in the models that we looked at, which were basically 11 different counties in this area, we looked at a variety of these types of systems, public defender, assigned counsel, hybrids, you know, public defender, public advocate, assigned counsel, et cetera. We looked at all of these, and we tried to figure out what are the relative merits of each of these programs, how do they work, and would something like that work here? What we found out, and I think this is something we should be very, very proud of, is that in Tompkins County, and this is frankly contrary to the trend statewide, but in Tompkins County, we have high-quality, comprehensive, and frankly, efficient, cost-efficient legal services. No question about that. We have a panel of 50-plus lawyers who are committed to assigned counsel work. That is remarkable when you compare them to counties such as Steuben County or Chemung County or Broome County, all the counties in this area. For whatever reason, Ithaca is a magnet. It attracts very passionate, committed people who are willing to undertake this type of service in the community. And frankly, they're not making as much as if they would be in private practice, but it's a good work, and they do good work, and it shows. And it is reflected in the comments of everyone who came before us who has any contact with these folks. So I think that was one of our very clear findings that we made after talking to a number of people. I wanted to also let you know of another finding, which because the statewide trend seems to be that assigned counsel programs don't do such a good job, you are finding a push for a statewide public defender system. And this is a huge caveat, and we tried to highlight that in this report. Why? Because if there is a statewide public defender system, then pretty much what we spent that 500 hours on is going to be moot, because we will be required to participate in that statewide public defender system. I would respectfully suggest that though it may be necessary, such a system may be valuable to some of our neighboring counties and to some other counties in the state where they do not have strong assigned counsel programs, it is not necessary here and indeed will probably cost us more in the long run than the existing assigned counsel program. So, let's talk about some of the findings in addition to that. We did a lot of different analyses, and if you look at Appendix 2, there's a comparative analyses in 2A, B, C, and D, and E, which is basically the result of collating a ton of data that we got from all over the state, and we tried to make it into an apples-to-apples comparison. But one of the things we found out, and I'm just going to focus on 2 points here because it's relevant to what I'm going to talk about. We found out, number one, that the cost per capita, in other words, if you were to take our assigned counsel program's cost and simply spread it out over the 100,000, roughly, population of Tompkins County, our cost per capita is higher than the average statewide. And so there are lots of reasons why, and we can speculate, and we had long discussion about that. Why is that? Why is that? That's one point. The second point is, remarkably, is that when you do the allocation of our caseload, especially in the criminal world, whereas the statewide split is roughly 55% of the caseload is at the misdemeanor level, misdemeanor violation level, in Tompkins County about 68% of the caseload is at the misdemeanor violation level. So here we have essentially low-level offenses that are costing us more per capita on average than throughout the state. And so you ask yourself, why is that? And that's where we're going to get to through this. If you give me a few more minutes, I'll explain how we're going to get there. But before we get there, I wanted to point out a corollary to this cost per capita, and that is that if you take a look, not right now, but if you look at Exhibit 2D, Appendix 2D, what are the other programs of the 11 counties, what are the other programs that in fact have higher costs per capita? Well, interesting, they are all public defender programs. And thus it is that, for instance, Chemung County has a public defender program, higher cost per capita. Broome County, higher cost per capita. Schenectady County, higher cost per capita. They are all Cortland County, and frankly, we heard some fairly negative things about Cortland County's program, higher cost per capita. What does that tell us? It tells us that the answer isn't necessarily a public defender program, and indeed that's what this group determined ultimately. So, but we did say, notwithstanding that, there's room for improvement. All right, now.
Council, you have to move towards summation.
In my entire career, there was one judge who told me that.
I stand in good
company. All right, you stand
company.
In good company. It was a federal judge, too. Right, so let me just give you some broad numbers, just so you understand where we're coming from. Right now, the assigned counsel program in Tompkins County, these are all 2008 numbers, by the way, okay? The assigned counsel program in Tompkins County, $1.9 million is what the total cost was, all right? We came up with two different models. One model was, if we're going to use the national and the New York State standards for case allocation, what would it cost? And the answer was just shy of $2.1 million. So roughly, or I'm sorry, just over $2 million. So there's about a $100,000 difference. But we said, no, there's a problem there. What's the problem? The problem is that the standards that the national and the state bar prescribes are frankly unrealistic. And we go through a whole set of calculations in this report, and I'm not going to bore you with it. But the bottom line is that if you use the standards that were established by the commission that examined this problem in Tompkins County 20 years ago, Marilyn Ray and her group, if you use those standards tweaked to reflect current reality, the cost for a public defender program in this county would be closer to $3 million. It's about $2.9 million. So just from a purely dollars and cents viewpoint, we are getting a better deal. But we can do better. So I'm going to skip through. The recommendations fall into, here we go. They fall into four different areas. The attorneys, you don't want to hear about that because it basically says get rid of them if they're lying and cheating and train them better. But they're not lying and cheating. We didn't find liars and cheaters. But we're just saying, look, we need to be careful about that. administration of the assigned counsel program. We have an excellent administration. We felt that if there's more active vouchering review and using county law to try to recover some money and engaging in using a brief bank mentoring, we'll get into that, but clustering assignments in local courts. In other words, there's a whole series of steps that we said, you know what, if you do these things, and this is, goes back to that misdemeanor issue, if you do these things, then we will be able, we hope, to cut down somewhat on our local costs. But the real suggestion, there's some client stuff, we'll get, you don't need to worry about that. The real issue here has to do with the local courts. And this is going to take a little finesse. Why? Because judges are God, and judges may handle their courts however they wish, subject only to the Office of Court Administration. But there are things that if the judges would agree to do, we could make some changes and frankly have a significant impact. Because the judges that we're talking about are not the county court judges, and they're not the city court judges. They're already doing some pretty decent things to keep everything efficient. It's the town judges. It's the judges who are handling those misdemeanors and violations. And so we will respectfully suggest that there are a couple of things that they can do. The most important is that they can cut down on the number of court appearances. You find that the city court has a mechanism in place where they have probably half as many court appearances for the same level cases as the town courts. Very simple. So if they could cut them down, then the lawyers wouldn't be out there hanging around and driving out there and charging, you know, the assigned counsel rates for traveling and waiting and what have you. The second is hear cases first. And then, of course, the last one is for the assigned counsel program to figure out a mechanism to embarrass them periodically so that they'll come forward and do what we are hoping that they will do. But that's not, you know, that's just me. All right. Here's another area, though, where we do have an opportunity to make some improvement and perhaps save some money. We have this new thing called specialty courts. Specialty courts are new all across the state, and they're listed right here. There's a fourth or a fifth one called the Integrated Domestic Violence Court, IDV. These courts require special attorneys. They require a lot of time, and frankly, if you added up all of the time collectively and you had two lawyers doing just the specialty court work for these four courts, they would be working full-time, essentially, doing this kind of work. And if they were charging assigned counsel rates for that full-time work, you're looking at over $100,000 apiece. And our suggestion is that not this group, because we had enough on our plate, but the next group, if you would like, have them take a look at whether or not institutional representation, in other words, whether or not you want to go with a 501c3, some sort of a not-for-profit group, that might be able to provide a legal aid society, that type of thing, that might be able to provide representation in those courts. With that, I'm going to thank the folks who worked very hard on this. And believe me, I was chatting with a fellow the other day who is from Onondaga County, and I told him what a steal we made when we got Joe Mariana to come to Tompkins County. And it is absolutely true. He was absolutely fabulous in supporting this and in doing the gut work that had to get done. And he's just really a real mensch. So I thank Joe, also Jackie Thomas, for suffering all of the lawyers talking and writing it down. Namar Al-Ghanas, who was our intern, and especially thanks to the committee. We have Bill Furness and Kelly Dam are here. Deb Dietrich was on the committee. Jim Dennis, Martha Robertson, and Heather Bissell were on this committee. Everybody worked hard, and I think what we have produced is something that is defensible and hopefully will stand the test of time, at least for another generation. So thank you very much.
Our thanks go to you, Ray, as chair of this committee. I mentioned just briefly that Deb Dietrich was on the committee 20 years ago, so we had that institutional memory and longevity. Are there any questions? I know that we're going to be voting on this probably next meeting, so we have time to digest and look at this, but we'll take that up under the committee report. Any questions for any of the members who are here besides our deep appreciation? Dooley Kiefer.
Do you have any sense of how the town courts will be reacting to this?
Yeah, I should have mentioned that. In fairness to them, the Magistrates Association was well represented. They were very receptive to our discussion. I think we heard from four or five of the town justices, including the president of the association. Everyone said what you're saying makes sense.
And Martha Robertson had a point?
That's Appendix 17, three of the letters from the justices, but that's going to need some conversation. I just wanted to thank Ray and the task force and Bob Stolpe and Julia Hughes did a lot of work on this as well, and have really taken, sort of internalized this, and I think are really ready to implement a lot of these things. The Public Safety Committee, I mean, assuming that we will vote. By the way, I'm going to withdraw the resolution to adopt this for tonight, just give chance for public comment and, you know, reaction from people, but so that we would have it in 2 weeks to actually vote on. The Public Safety Committee will then sort of take each of the recommendations and sort of figure out how it would get implemented. But I think I've talked here about the maintenance of effort requirement, the state's requirement that we spend at least a dollar more than last year's total amount for assigned counsel, or else we lose their reimbursement, which is around $400,000. We're working hard with the State Association of Counties we've proposed another way of looking at that and calculating that. Although, Ray, I got to say, I think we could save so much money in here that even our cost per case goes down, and so we may have to make a special case that we're doing high quality work, but finding lots of ways to trim the costs. So I look forward to you know, sort of implementing this and moving it out.
Thank you. And just a real quick thank you to Martha, because the maintenance of effort issue is a real serious issue, and it appears that in 2009 our numbers are going down by almost $200,000, which means we would lose that state subsidy of about $400,000 unless the work that Martha has been and Joe have been running back and forth to Albany to try to convince them to change the formula.
Another quick comment from Jim Dennis?
Yes. My local government life has taken place over many decades, and I've been on a lot of committees, and this clearly is the best one I've been on, and I've learned a great deal from the chair techniques of running meetings, and I appreciate very much the way he handled everything that we had to do, and all the members from the law fraternity and sorority.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you again to Ray and the full committee.
Thank you very much.
Under Chair's report, I'll just mention that this week, actually, we didn't do a proclamation, but it is 4-H Program Week, National 4-H Week, and many, many young people throughout Tompkins County are in part of 4-H, and we celebrate those who work with them. Under Chair's appointments, we have two appointments to the Workforce Investment Board, Mary Stasey and Mary George Opperman. And we'll move on to our report from County Administrator Joe Mariani.
I just have a couple of very brief notes and updates. Over the past several weeks, we spent a lot of time on our budget in this room, and I'd like you to know that beyond what's happening here, we are getting out into the community to explain our budget to members of the community. Jim Dennis, as chair of the Expanded Budget Committee, and I have made two presentations over the past week, one to the Ithaca Downtown Business Women's Group, the second yesterday to the Chamber's Local Government Relations Committee. A presentation very similar to what we did here when we first launched the budget. Again, I think it's a great opportunity to explain what our situation is, what our challenges are, and to get input from various elements of the community. In that same spirit, I think all of you know that we are now on Facebook. We're one of the few governments in the United States that have experimented. We're dipping our toe in Facebook as a means, again, to educate the community in terms of what is in our budget and invite them to offer comment in terms of what they, the kind of input they would like us to take into account as a part of the budget. We have now in excess of 100 fans on our Facebook. I don't know that the back and forth has picked up yet, but again, I think we're one of the first governments in the country to try to appeal to a community that may not feel comfortable going to a public hearing or a traditional budget forum. We are doing things other than budgets. All of you have been very much involved in the Health Benefits Consortium. That board has now met twice, and we'll meet again this Friday. The goal is to get a budget approved at its next meeting and get the consolidated health plan in place for implementation on January 1st, which we all believe will save significant taxpayers' dollars. So that's moving forward nicely. I think whenever we get an opportunity, we should acknowledge the work being done by our health department during a very difficult time and dealing with a lot of issues on their horizon and doing the best they can to respond to that. And so I'd like to do that tonight. And finally, I would like to ask for a brief executive session this evening to discuss a personnel matter. So if I could request that, and that's my report.
Thank you. Any questions for Joe?
I just want to know who's the Facebook monitor.
Marcia is the interface person.
The interface Facebook person.
there will be extra money in the budget for makeup for anybody who's on.
There's no further questions. On to County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I have no report.
Thanks, Jonathan. On to David Squires, Finance Director.
I placed in your box this evening a summary, a listing of the properties that are being notified that they're subject to foreclosure for this year. There's technically 140 parcels that are in this process. That's about 20% over last year, though it fluctuates mostly because of there's more vacant land parcels that are included in the list. But I ask you to look at this list, and if you know anything particular about any parcel, let me know. The other point I wanted to bring up, today I got in the mail from this retirement system information, their estimate of what our next year's retirement bill is going to be. So I quickly compared that to my calculation based upon the other information, and I'm sorry to report that the estimated bill next year is for the county is about $300,000 more than I originally estimated. It's estimated at like $4.8 million for next year. That's based upon the salaries that they set the rates in advance, 17 months in advance, and the estimated bill. And that bill is going to be pretty substantially close to what it will be, other than if there's any adjustments to service credits that are assigned to the county. And finally, I wanted to report that...
Well, before you go on,
okay.
Are you saying you previously estimated $4.8 million, and it's now you
4.5.
think... 4.5, so now you think it'll be 4.8?
4.8, yes, based upon the information they provided us. The actual rates to be applied against the projected salaries, which the billing will be based upon.
And that's for 2010?
It's for 2000. They call it the 2011 bill, which we pay on December of 2010.
So does that have to be figured into our 2010 budget?
Yes.
And so I've talked to Norma about that. And the final thing, we took proposals for auditing services, and I've been checking references, so I'm going to be asked for some participation from the legislature to select an auditor for the county for the next 3 years.
All right. Thank you. Any more questions for David? Thank you, David. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Pam?
Yes, I'd like to withdraw resolution C.
Okay, that's now off. And Martha.
As I said before, I'd like to withdraw resolution H and have that come back in 2 weeks.
To allow us time to digest that very thick document.
That's right, and in particular for the public to consider it. It's on the county website if you go to the lender legislature and then go to committees, It's at the top of the Public Safety Committee page. There's a link to the 35-page, the body of the report.
All right, thank you. If there's no more additions or deletions, move to the consent agenda. These are resolutions that are not expected to be controversial that can pass in a single vote. I'll read the appointments and the resolutions. Please pull them off if you don't want to vote on the consent. First, we have Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Is Janet here? What? Okay. A suggestion to change order, but we're going to keep the same order until Janet Steiner, who we have a resolution about, shows up. Resolution A, this is revised. Authorization to execute economic recovery project supplemental funding agreement with New York State Department of Transportation, CR-121. That's the Warren Road Reconstruction Project. Resolution B, also revised. This is authorization to execute construction and right-of-way funding agreement with New York State Department of Transportation, CR-188. That's the Station Road Culvert Replacement Project. C has been withdrawn. On to Resolution D, Budget, Capital, and Finance Committee. This is scheduling a public hearing on the 2010 Tompkins County budget and the 2010 through 14 Tompkins County capital program. And Public Safety Committee Resolution E, budget adjustment for emergency response. And Resolution F, acceptance of state homeland security grants, emergency response. The appointments are Criminal Justice Advisory Board, Alternatives Incarceration Board, which is Fran Helmstetter, the Air Services Board, Larry Baum and Michael Hall, and to the Board of Assessment Review, Martha Preston. Who'd like to move the consent agenda? Will moves it. Dooley seconds. All in favor? Are there any opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. And we'll move on to our regular order of business. Let's start with our Legislative Rules and Procedures Committee. Dooley Kiefer, Chair.
I'm sorry that we have not handed out anything for you to read yet, but we're going to get something to you before the next meeting.
All right. We had some resolution before that we had to go back to committee. So if you have questions for Dooley, please let her know or other committee members. We'll move on to Health and Human Services Committee. Frank Proto, our chair, is not here. I believe Will is prepared to report as vice chair.
I will do my best. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
So the next meeting of the Health and Human Services Committee will be on October 13th, 3:30, in the old jail. We are all, of course, concerned about the issue of flu vaccinations, and people should be aware that the clinics for the seasonal flu have been temporarily suspended. They will be rescheduled. We are waiting further shipments of the vaccine. The county health department has an excellent website that gives you the update on that. My understanding is that they are doing very limited seasonal flu for children 6 to 19, through certain settings. So if you want to know more, once again, contact the health department. And we have a resolution, I do believe, which is the, I had it right here 30 seconds ago. Okay, it's the Resolution G, creation of positions and authorization to accept homelessness prevention and rapid rehousing grant from the New York State Office of Temporary Disability Assistance, OTDA, Department of Social Services. And I so move.
Moved by Will, seconded by Martha. Is there discussion? Will, go ahead.
I'd like, embarrassed to know we discovered one typo. I would please indulge us. And the second, whereas, bottom line, it says the Bureau of Housing and Shelter Services to fund a program to homelessness prevention program. We should delete the program too. So it will now read, Bureau of Housing and Shelter Services to fund a homeless prevention program. Two words deleted.
Everyone catch that? Greg, you had a question?
No, I didn't have a question. I just wanted to make a comment. Not necessarily about this, but just about creating positions in general, even though it's funds that are coming from somebody with bigger or deeper pockets than us. You know, David reminds us monthly about the increases in the cost of the pension system to us, and we all ooh and ah at the numbers. But I think we need to keep that in mind every time we create a position, even if the money's coming from a big or a deep pocket. So just, you know, vote accordingly, I guess.
All right, thank you. Mike Hattery.
The commissioner isn't here, right?
She was.
Patricia was just here a minute ago.
All right, well, and I had a question about, anybody knows about the bulk of this money, which is going to be contracted out, but wasn't critical. I can talk about it another time.
Further discussion. Martha Robertson.
It's my understanding that positions are grant limited. They're not, you know, as usual, when we have a grant, something's brought in to hire somebody to carry out the grant, that those positions aren't permanent if the grant goes away. And I mean, I think the point here is that with the work that's going to get done is going to so benefit our citizens and reduce our shelter costs and reduce all the other costs of people being in insecure, unstable housing, that it's definitely going to be a benefit.
It's almost a two-year grant, is that correct?
22 months, yeah.
Right. Any further discussion? Ready to vote? All in favor, Resolution G? Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Mark.
Move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Leslie, I'm going to report, or is your vice chair?
I will.
Okay.
I was not present for the F&I committee meeting, but it was pretty standard. It wasn't anything major to report. I do
okay.
want to thank Vice Chair Dooley Kiefer for facilitating the meeting, chairing the meeting on that day. The committee did that on September 17th. One thing of note, I would say, is there were questions that had come up for a number of us about the Forest Home traffic calming. And from our Commissioner of Planning and Public Works, if Marks has indicated that the issues of the town, the design, have been resolved, and the folks are working amicably to move forward with this project. And so I just wanted to make sure that you all are aware of that. And if you have any further questions about that, you can talk to Ed. Thank you.
Any questions about the report? Thank you, Leslie. We'll move on to Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee. Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Hey, thank you, Mike. The Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee will be meeting this Friday at 3:30. And it looks like a thin agenda, but it's actually not. We have 8 policies in which we're going to be going to have a discussion about. And I'm sure my list of discussion items is as long as Dooley's. Right, Dooley?
Yeah.
And so it should be a very interesting and engaging discussion. I recommend that you drink some coffee beforehand and do whatever things that you need to do to stress relief so that you'll be patient and calm through the 2 hours of policy discussion. And also we'll be hearing about our performance improvement efforts throughout the county as well, among other things. So it should be an exciting meeting, and I'll see you at 3:30 on Friday. All
right, thank you. Questions? Julie Keeper.
Not a question. There was also a brief meeting of that committee before.
Oh, yes.
The
evening's
meeting, which is why you got to appoint Martha Preston to the Board of Assessment Review.
Yes.
Thank you. Appointment process as part of the consent agenda. There's no further questions or comments. Thank you, Nathan. We'll move on to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Pam McAsee, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. I would like to report that our last meeting of the Planning Committee was on the 9th of September. It was a while ago, but I didn't report on it at our earlier meeting. So I just wanted to mention a couple of things that... At that meeting, we had a discussion about the budget and about the reduction of staff time for advisory boards, and there were lots of questions, and the planning department is going to give us some more information on what their thinking is before we start making our budget decisions. We had yet another discussion on the tourism budget, and hopefully that was our last one for the year. And then I would like to say that on the in October, this month, actually it was last Friday, The planning department went to a conference in Albany and accepted on behalf of the county an award for the Upstate American Planning Association Implementation and Sustainability in Planning Award. And it was given to Tompkins County for its energy and greenhouse gas emissions addition to a comprehensive plan. And what Ed had said was that it was apparent from the discussions that took place that Tompkins County was pretty much ahead of all the other counties that are members of that group. So it was a real honor, and we are once again in the forefront in many of our issues. And I just the last thing I would like to say is that we will be meeting on October 14th at 3:15 for our October meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions for Pam? Say thanks for choosing which time to report. You know, last meeting we had very full, and this meeting we had some more time, so I do appreciate your kind of modulating when you wanted to report out your committee report.
Okay.
On to Budget, Capital, and Finance Committee. Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you, Michael. To use Ray Schlatter's words, we have met often but with purpose, and we have six more meetings scheduled for October, beginning in the 13th. And they are the beginning of the voting meetings. I'm going to ask you again to submit to Norma any additions or deletions you have, and we will contact department heads, and you could contact department heads at the same time to bring that to the first group of meetings. And we have been discussing in the staff, you know, how to schedule them and what to come first and second and so on. So 3:30 right here, or I'm sorry, 5 here, 5 p.m. right here, the 13th. And
you're welcome to thank join you, Jim. Us. Question from Pam?
No, I actually had one more thing I wanted to say, so why don't you take
any
question.
Further questions for Jim on his report?
That concludes my report.
Thank you. And back to Pam.
Okay. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that we had a meeting of the Housing Oversight Committee. That's the group that the city and Cornell and County are trying to come up with notification of funds availability. It's the notification that we hope to be putting out in the public with. Not in the very near future, and for people to apply for funding, and it's very exciting. The committee has worked extremely well together, and we've made good progress. And I hope that we are going to have a joint meeting with the technical group that is going to actually be looking at the applications to go over the NOFA with them one more time before we release it to the public. And our goal still is to have the applications to that committee, and for the committee to begin considerations after the first of the year. So it's very exciting.
And
thank you.
Sounds like it's on schedule based
it
on
is.
The plan.
Yes. Yeah, great. It's pretty good.
Okay. Move on to Public Safety Committee. Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. We met on September 21st, and most of the meeting was we spent a full hour talking, going over the recommendations of the Public Defense Task Force report. And I would just also mention that the Advisory Board on Indigent Representation has also reviewed the report, and they adopted it and sort of recommended that public safety and the legislature also accept that. I wanted to just a couple of things. Other things that we talked about. Okay, the sheriff told us that double bunking began on September 1st at the jail. I'd forgotten about this, but at the meeting I talked about at NYSAC, I had heard that most of the jails that you know, there were a number of counties that the Commission on Corrections had basically forced to either build new larger jails or to expand. And those, most of those jails, they're actively recruiting for prisoners. For people, they're having a bidding war for looking for prisoners to fill up those jail cells. So the prices are, I guess, going down, and that's good for us and not good for those counties. The sheriff mentioned that deputies Pete Walker and Dan Donahue were awarded the Kiwanis Club Officer of the Month Award for their life-saving actions at the Grassroots Festival in August. Somebody was in cardiac distress. We also talked with, I have a couple of resolutions today, and heard from Lee Shurtleff. These are mostly related, the resolutions are related to grants, but also we talked with Lee about two other items that are coming up that we've talked about before, the landline surcharge on cell phones, on landlines, the surcharge that we hope we'll be able to add that, and that will help with our budget, a little bit help to fill the hole in our budget this year. We've had, it's required quite a bit of interesting research, and as Greg Potter puts it, once you start looking at how Verizon bills us for our services, you'll find all sorts of really interesting things. So this has turned out to be harder than we thought, but Joe updated us on it then, and maybe you just want to take a minute and talk about that again tonight, or where it stands.
Yeah, kind of in the Reader's Digest fashion, but the question is really who is exempted, if anyone is exempted from that tax. And we found that in the 93 legislation that established the surcharge, there were three exchanges for Cornell that were exempted by local law from that tax. And then there was basically conjecture that there were other exemptions from the tax. So we pursued both. We've talked to the Public Service Commission. We've talked to Verizon and couldn't get anywhere. We've talked to the Public Service Commission about helping us to find out who is exempt and the value of those exemptions. There was a belief that anyone with a 274 exchange, us, the school district, and everyone else, was exempted. We're finding that that's not the case. So what we'd like to do is spend the next week or two to continue investigating this exemption and then report back to public safety really in time so that we can, if appropriate, include this revenue in our budget. So everyone knows this would not affect our estimate of income from an increase in the surcharge. All we did was look at how much we're currently making, and we scaled that up with the extra 65 cents. It's really a matter of public policy to understand who's exempted and who's not.
Okay, so we will be able to get that done. It may require a special meeting before the legislature meeting or something to try to move that along. We also heard from Lee about the his investigation into the computer-aided dispatch system, the system that really operates the dispatch, calls that come in and then transfers information to the sheriff's database. They need to upgrade that this year. I think the money was in the original capital program as part of the mobile data system, but it's that's something that's going to be coming back to the committee and to the legislature when that gets when Lee and Greg figure out exactly what they'd like to do in cooperation with the sheriff and others. We're also hoping perhaps that we can work with Cornell. They're looking at upgrading to a similar program right about the same time, and if we can work together, maybe we can get put out a bid together and get a better price. So the resolutions that I had were just on consent. Happy to answer any questions. And again, happy to have discussion next meeting at our next legislature meeting about the public defense report. So that's the next meeting is October 19th, and that's all I have.
Thank you, Martha. Any questions? If not, we'll move on to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean, Claiborne Chair.
One of the interesting comments that came out of our WDIC meeting, and I know our county administrator is on top of it, has to do is as we go into our budget deliberations and we look at the layoffs or the positions that are not being filled or funded or the grant funded positions, that we also keep in mind our goal around diversity and inclusion and make sure that we are being careful in that arena. Of course, we can't please it all, but certainly to make sure that that is part of our thinking as we deliberate. That's my report.
Thank you. I think we have set a new record for the year in terms of concluding our meeting. We do have one more individual member file resolution from Frank Proto, although the recipient of this resolution is not here, but I guess I'll ask Julie Kiefer to move it. This is Resolution I.
Resolution I, in appreciation of Janet L. Steiner, Director, Tompkins County Public Library. And I move that. I also contributed to this, but we have a habit of only listing one legislator on member filed resolutions. We might consider expanding that. I'd like to read it if there's time.
I'm glad to have you read it. There is time. Pam McKenzie seconds. Go ahead and do.
Whereas Janet L. Steiner took the position of Director of the Tompkins County Public Library on October 18, 1993, and whereas through her efforts, $6.5 million were secured to assist in relocation of the library from North Cougar Street to its present location at 101 East Green Street, and whereas over the course of her tenure, the library expanded its acquisitions, programming, and technology, as well as obtained funding to keep the library open weekends, and whereas Janet's enthusiasm in support of the vision of our library as a true center of civic activity has led to much expanded use by all sectors of our community, and whereas Janet's staunch support for the rural and community libraries, formerly called reading rooms, and the Finger Lakes Library System has helped maintain a strong and economical library network that benefits the entire community, and whereas Janet has worked closely with the Tompkins County Public Library Board of Trustees to develop a strategic plan that focuses on the future of the library and has guided her staff to expand their roles as knowledge keepers and disseminators, including becoming technology tutors and information assistants, and whereas Janet has consistently implemented up-to-date technology that would provide residents with access to the numerous outside sources of information, education, and entertainment, and whereas she understood the importance of diversity, seeking representation from all segments of population through aggressive marketing campaigns and diverse programming, and whereas Janet has managed to be both good-humored and professional in her role as cheerleader for our library, fighting valiantly to maintain funding levels for the library in order to provide residents with the high quality and much needed service they have become accustomed to under her direction. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Tompkins County Legislature expresses its appreciation to Janet L. Steiner for her many years of dedicated service to the residents of Tompkins County and wish her well in her retirement.
Thank you for reading that. Is that unanimously seconded?
Yes.
Seconded? I think it is. And we have a framed version of that we'll give to her when we next see her. She's traveling, I think, from the south, trying to be here at this time, but she may have been caught in traffic or something. There was a goodbye party for her on the 27th, Sunday. This was not ready for that, but we'll give it to her subsequently. So thank you, Dooley, for your editing. Thank you, Karen, for some initiating some of that wording, and Frank for filing it.
We have to vote.
Oh, yes. All in favor, Resolution I. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Who'd like to move the minutes of the previous meeting, September 15th and September 1st? Martha moves it. Pam seconds. Ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Who'd like to move to go into executive session? Nathan, do you have a point to make?
Oh, yeah. Are we going to let our hour and a half meeting count as 2 hours?
Yes, we'll do that.
Again?
Yes.
All right.
Who'd like to move to go into executive session? Pam moves it. Jim seconds. Going to executive session for personnel reasons. We do not expect to take action afterwards. We'll take a 5-minute break to take the cameras off the air. All in favor going to executive session for personnel
Aye.
Purposes? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much.
Aye.
Thanks our guests for attending in the back.